Welcome, foolish mortals, to All Hallows Always,
where one night of Halloween just isn't enough.
We are your hosts, Jason
and Emily,
and we're your guides through all things Halloween-y.
There are just 18 days left until the best night of the year.
Oh, I'm getting stoked. Tonight's episode, we are actually going to travel way, 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 way back in time to the very first Halloween. Nobody knows when it actually happened, but we're going to talk about the history of the holiday.
How it all began.
It's some pretty interesting stuff, really. I mean, you tell people Halloween and they automatically think, you know, costumes
and candy.
Candy, yeah. And kids running around at night without a flashlight and they get run over by cars. But we're going to talk about where it all began and how Halloween grew as a holiday and then eventually as a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. Emily, do you know where Halloween began?
So, no one really knows where it began, but the popular thinking is that it started in ancient Celtic cultures. You know, Scotland, Ireland, British Isles. There is an ancient celebration called Samhain that began in that part of the world. And that is where most Halloween traditions are sort of traced back to.
Yeah, Samhain is kind of a funny thing. When I first saw it in print, it's spelled Samhain.
Uh-huh.
S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's ancient Celtic, so it's not pronounced like that. It's Samhain. Or Samhain? I've heard it pronounced Samhain as well.
Yeah.
But I don't speak Celtic, so
Very few people
we're
going to
go with Samhain. Samhain was an end of harvest festival. It traditionally took place on the night between summer and winter. Because
mm-hmm.
Scotland and Ireland, being further north than we are, don't have as many seasons as we do. And so summer just kind of trips into winter, and that was the night that they put this festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one night of the year that they believed that their dead ancestors could come back from beyond. Their spirits could rise from the afterlife that they believed in and could interact with the living.
Right. And that's one of the things that is so interesting about it is most people believe that it grew out of, you know, wanting to scare away evil spirits, but in fact, in the Samhain tradition, it's about honoring the spirits. It's about welcoming them into your lives again. And they even went so far as to set out plates of food at their family table, set out empty chairs and plates of food, and invite their dead ancestors to dine with them, to have a meal with them.
Yeah.
And it was an honor sort of thing. Now, the costumes kind of did grow out of that.
In a way.
In a way. One thing that was a popular thing to do during the Samhain celebration was you would build a big bonfire and your entire clan, your entire family would gather around this big fire and to honor the dead.
Right.
And you would blacken your face with the ashes from the fire. And some even created masks made of paper or whatever was available. And that was kind of where the Halloween masks came from.
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that all of the spirits that rose from the grave were kind spirits. There was some of the warding off malign spirits and it was considered bad luck to be seen by any undead spirit as a mortal person, as a living being. And that's a lot of the reason that they started doing the costumes, is they wanted to blend in with the spirits as they moved about in the mortal realm. Along with the bonfire, one of the reasons that they did it is because the bonfire would attract insects in the middle of the night, and the insects would attract bats.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed that the bats would also help ward off the mean spirits, the unlucky ones,
right,
and allow their ancestors to mingle with them.
And the bat remains an image, an icon of
that's where bats come from for Halloween.
So, and it's funny how that has lasted through the ages. And so many people, I guess, really don't realize where that came from.
The bats are one of my favorite parts.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love bats?
I love bats. So another tradition, along with the costuming and the bonfires, was children would go out into their town, and they'd wander about with groups of their friends, and they would beg for food. I'm not really sure where that tradition started, but that was called mumming.
Okay.
And the act of wearing the costumes they called guising. Those are like medieval terms that the medieval Black Ages English people gave to the traditions that the mm-hmm. Scots and the Celts were doing.
Well, that's interesting too, and I'm not sure where this tradition comes from or if it's related, but there is an ancient pagan tradition that came from the same area of the world.
Right.
Same school of thought, and I'm not sure if it's a ceremony or what, but there's it's a group of children are believed when they walk through the village that they carry death with them. They carry death out of the village.
Huh.
So okay. they ward off death. I don't know if that's part of where that came from. I would have to do research on that, but
that may be part of it.
Yeah.
Interesting. And the mumming was not like for, it wasn't walking up to the door, ding dong, trick or treat. They would wander around and pay for the food that they got with songs and with rhymes. Nice. Or they would tell a joke.
Like caroling.
Kind of like caroling. It's actually a very similar tradition. And they would go around and do these little entertainment bits for people in their houses, and they would be rewarded with, you know, a bit of bread or a couple gold coins.
So I have an idea on how we can save money on groceries.
I don't think it works quite the same way nowadays.
No, you're right. We probably just get shot.
Also, we're too old. We're not cute little kids singing songs at someone's door on Halloween.
Wait, we're not cute little kids?
We're cute. We're not little kids.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that.
So we've talked about where the costumes came from and bonfires, and they also had big feasts and they had parades. But we haven't talked about one of my favorite traditions that is as ancient as Samhain itself, and that is the tradition of the jack-o'-lantern. The jack-o'-lantern, contrary to popular belief, has not always been a pumpkin. They were originally carved out of turnips, and I assume that turnips in the English Isles are much bigger than turnips here in America, because I can't imagine carving a face out of a tiny little tuber, but...
Yeah, that seems like that would be challenging.
A lot. Very, very challenging.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about why we started doing pumpkins later. The jack-o'-lantern, or Jack of the Lantern, was a fairy tale, basically, where this man named Jack was wandering out in the countryside, and he was not a very nice person. He was kind of a swindler, kind of a scoundrel. And he meets the devil on the road. And the devil says, now that I've met you, I'm going to keep your soul. Your soul is mine. And Jack is not happy with this arrangement. There are a couple different versions. One says that he chases the devil up a tree.
Sure. And then, I mean, who hasn't done that?
Then carves a cross into the trunk. And so the devil can't get down.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack says, listen, I'll let you down if you do this deal with me, if you make this pact. The other version of the story is that the devil, there's another couple coming down the road, some farmers come down the road, and Jack says, quick, I can con these guys into them giving you their souls. So jump into my pocket, and when I say go, you can jump out and surprise them and have them. But when the devil jumps into Jack's pocket, he has a cross in his pocket. And catches him in his wallet.
It's very clever.
Yeah. Jack was, like I said, he was a swindler.
Mm-hmm.
So, in either case of the story, devil's trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Jack says, I'll let you free under one condition. When I die, you do not get my soul. My soul does not go to hell. Devil says, ugh, fine. So they make this pact. Jack lives a nice long life. And then dies.
Mm-hmm.
And his soul goes up to heaven, mm-hmm. and heaven's like, ha, ha, no, you were a horrible person.
Rejected.
And Jack's like, well, fine. So he goes down to hell, and the devil's like, we made a deal. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed in here.
Mm-hmm.
And as kind of a sarcastic gift, the devil gives Jack a coal from the eternal hell flame. And that is what lights Jack's way. So Jack takes a turnip, carves out the inside, and turns it into a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why Jack of the Lantern, that's why they carved turnips and carved faces into the turnips to represent Jack.
I see.
Now, Jack O'Lantern, traditionally, is a night watchman.
Okay.
It's not the actual lantern.
Okay.
It's just a man who wanders around in the night with a lantern. In Scotland, now, Jack O'Lantern is the same as Will of the Wisp.
Okay.
That, you know, fly over the moors and swamp gas ignited by whatever. But the term over here is now used to represent the pumpkins, mm-hmm. the carved-faced pumpkins.
Yeah.
One of my very favorite traditions. My sisters and I get together every year and carve jack-o'-lanterns, and it's always so much fun. So, Halloween is not called Samhain anymore, and that is mostly due to the Christian tradition. Do you know anything about how that happened?
Well, the dates that we currently use to celebrate Halloween, other cultures use them as well. We use, you know, October 31st, which translates in the Roman Catholic, that is All Saints Day.
All Saints, no. All Saints Day is November 1st.
Okay, so it's, there's All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and
All Hallows Eve is what it was called in the Roman Catholic tradition.
Was that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, November 1st and November 2nd are traditionally used in other countries for similar celebrations. In Mexico, they do Dia de los Muertos, and that's usually celebrated on November 1st and sometimes on November 2nd, depending on what
right.
area. So, and sometimes it's a two-day celebration.
Yeah. And that's a very similar tradition. But when the Christian church moved along through Europe and eventually got to England, they noticed that there were a bunch of pagan rituals and pagan rites that were being practiced still, even though the Romans had been there for mm-hmm. a couple hundred years. All these pagan traditions had been mixed in, and so they appropriated a lot of the holidays that were already in place. Christmas is an example,
mm-hmm.
Easter is an example, and Halloween, or Samhain. But they didn't want it to be associated with the pagan rites anymore, so mm-hmm. they named it after their own All Hallows Eve, which is the night before All Saints Day.
Right.
And All Hallows Eve, kind of over the years, got chopped up and shortened into Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
All Hallows Eve. And that's where we get Halloween. Also, when the Christian tradition kind of took over Halloween, that's where we get a lot of our devil imagery. That's where we get a lot of the evil spirits, the goblins, and the things rising from the grave that are coming to get you. That's a lot of very Christian religiosity, I guess, being thrown into this pagan thing.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it moved from the British Isles with the immigrants and with the Christian religion being spread out.
Mm-hmm.
It moved into Europe, Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and it moved into Northern Africa, eventually down into India, and most prominently into America.
Right.
In the late 19th century is when it really started to take a hold. And as with most things that came out of the old world into America, it changed. Halloween evolved into something completely different. Not completely different, but more modern, I suppose.
Yeah.
Less involved with superstition.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's one of the most commercially popular holidays of the entire year.
Yeah.
Mumming is one of the biggest changes that was made. It has turned into trick-or-treating, as we
know it. So instead of asking for food, you go around and ask for candy.
Right. They ask for it's the children dressing up in costumes. A lot of it now is not so much guises of their ancestors or long dead relatives. Now it's, pop culture icons and, no, pretty much pop culture icons.
Yeah, that's all
Halloween costumes have become.
You get the occasional, animal.
There are animals sometimes. Not as many as when we were little. Not as many animals anymore.
That's true.
Well, I guess Halloween is still evolving.
That's absolutely right in a lot of ways.
It really is, and we'll talk even more about that in future episodes, because there's a lot to talk about with the evolution of Halloween. But, so, we get the costume changes. The first commercially produced costumes and sold were in America, and it started in the 30s. And there's a lot of really interesting pictures online. You can just search 1930s Halloween costumes, and it comes up with these terrifying pictures. And I don't know if you've seen any of these photos, but I'll put some up on the website for us to see.
Yeah.
And to share, because they're creepy. And then these awful paper masks and...
Well, as a culture, we were creepy around the turn of the century, what with...
That's true.
Taking pictures of our dead
and Memento Mori photography.
Yeah, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And, creepy Halloween costumes. And it was a creepy time.
It was. It was a simpler time, but we've gotten better at making costumes that look like actual things now, which is
probably for the
better.
Yeah.
And I said we were going to talk about why jack-o'-lanterns turned into pumpkins.
Right.
The Scotch-Irish immigrants came over, and turnips were no longer readily available. They weren't a crop that were grown in this part of the world. Mm-hmm. And the Native Americans and that culture introduced them to pumpkins. And pumpkins are much bigger, of course, and they grow very, very well in the climates of North America. And so they saw these and were like, these might be easier to carve. And lo and behold, they are. I really want to make a turnip jack-o'-lantern, though.
I think we should.
I want to.
We made a white eggplant ghost. Why not?
We did. And a yellow squash Frankenstein. That was cool.
That was cool. Another thing that we mentioned earlier was Dia de los Muertos, which is something that is becoming more popular in this country, but is traditionally a Mexican holiday. And it consists of honoring your ancestors and the dead, much like the traditional Samhain celebrations.
Right.
But differences are... Well, numerous. one thing that is really popular is, painting the face to look like a skull.
Yep. Very stylized skull.
Yeah. There's a lot of bone imagery. And the reason where that comes from is during the Day of the Dead celebration, one tradition is to actually remove the bones of your deceased and clean them with rags and wash them.
Which may be the creepiest thing that you can do.
It sounds very creepy, but it isn't treated that way. It's considered an act of honoring your ancestors.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So as we said, Halloween is... ironically, it's not a dead holiday. It is still growing in popularity in a lot of places. Japan has really picked up on Halloween, like they've picked up on a lot of American culture things. And it's also taking off in places like India. And I don't know if it's really doing a lot in like Russia, but...
Well, Czechoslovakia actually, decades ago, picked up one of the more ancient traditions, and that is they set out empty chairs for their ancestors. So it really is... evolving in a lot of places in the world.
Yeah. And Australia, too. They have a lot of Halloween parades in Australia. It's also growing here in America. Specifically, you know, it's very marketable.
Absolutely.
It's the second most profitable holiday of the year. What with selling candy and decorations and costumes and face paint. Particularly, the place that I enjoy it growing is in decorations. For those of you who do not know, Emily and I, well, first of all, we're married. Emily's my wife. And we
Nobody
bought
Nobody told me.
I distinctly recall telling you.
Oh, okay.
But we bought a house last year, and our first Halloween here in the house was last Halloween, and we didn't have a whole lot in the way of decorations. We took some old sticks, and we sharpened them up at the ends, and we went around to every Target in the city and bought plastic skulls.
We were that creepy customer, that couple that you see at the store where you're just trying to shop for some groceries, maybe pick up a new pair of pants, and you turn around and see a couple with a cart full of skulls. That's us.
Yeah. But, I mean, I was surprised by the quality of these.
They
of
the, were.
The
they
props.
Were really
They've got a hinged
excellent.
Jaw, a hinged mandible, and they look really good. But we took them home and we kind of modified them a bit. I drilled some holes through the skulls, and we stuck them on the sticks and jammed the sticks into the yard. And that's pretty much the extent of our Halloween decorations last year.
Yeah.
This year, we have added something new. It's not brand new technology. It came out a couple years ago. It's called Atmosphere. Atmosphere. It's holographic effects for windows and walls. And we've got this projector, and you project it up onto the window onto a screen, and it looks like a ghost is popping out at you from our living room. I'm super excited about having that one and showing it off on Halloween.
Me too.
There's another house in the neighborhood who's been doing this for a very long time, and they're pretty awesome people. They've already got their decorations up. We're recording this a couple of weeks in advance. It's still September, and they already have all of their skeletons out in the yard. They've got their tombstones up. They've got their spider webs out. I envy them, and I plan on becoming them someday.
Absolutely.
I actually want to get together with them and put together a haunted house.
That would be
at some
awesome.
Point in the future.
Absolutely.
That we could team up and make a really awesome Greensboro.
It would be haunted house. Epic
money.
And spooky.
Raise money for charity.
Start a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Campaign or something.
It'd
GoFundMe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our show for tonight. I don't know what we're talking about.
Next. Well, maybe next week we can discuss how Halloween has evolved in this country since the turn of the century.
The modern history?
Yeah. Yeah, talk about, I mean, you know, there's everything to talk about, from how costumes evolve to the type of candy you hand out to, you know, how modern technology has changed trick-or-treating, because it truly has.
It's changed the entire holiday.
It really has.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe that's what we'll talk about next week.
Okay, we'll talk
then
about
Then again, maybe we'll just talk about a random scary movie. Who knows? Who knows?
We're unpredictable like that.
We are unpredictable.
Until then, make sure that you check us out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/allhallowsalways.
And we always welcome, you know, questions, suggestions, comments, spooky stories, whatever you got.
Also, make sure that you go on to irrelevantbutawesome.blogspot.com and keep up with all of our friends and our fellow nerds.
That's right, and make sure to check out our sister podcast, Classy Ring Attire.
If you're into wrestling. Until next time, good night.
And happy Halloween!
All Hallows Always, an irrelevant but awesome production.